How are we going? And that's a question that we might hear from our friends and from our family members. My friends, have we seriously thought about it? In fact, how did we go in the year of 2014 as we came to the end of that very year? In fact, today, as we are reminded, is the first Lord's Day of the year of 2015. So how had we been traveling? Perhaps many of us have been thinking of all of the things that we have done or experienced in the past year. And even as we watch the news, we can see the recap of the major events that have impacted our own land and nation of Australia, and in fact all over the world in the past 12 months. And as we look back, we may recall our New Year resolutions from last year. Perhaps we have succeeded in keeping them, or maybe not. And perhaps we have some new resolutions for this year. And we are reminded of the moments of joy and gladness, as well as instances of trials, instances of difficulties and tribulations. We might be thankful for family and friends and others who have helped us along in that year, as well as thinking of what we have achieved in this past year. But as we consider all of these things, as we are thinking about all of these things, are we thankful to the Lord as we look back? Are we thankful even this morning? And my friends, this Psalm 124 is a song of ascent. And it is one of the psalms of praise, one of the hymns that the people of God would especially sing during all the major festivals. And the pilgrims would sing this psalm as they traveled to Jerusalem. And we may notice that under the superscription that this psalm is a psalm of David. And that would have given us some information regarding the original context. But all in all, we can see that the psalmist is calling the people of God to look back and to behold something so great, something so amazing. And that is the goodness and the greatness of God towards them. And indeed, I think it is truly a good psalm for us to study, for us to meditate upon, and for us to reflect upon our past times. Why? So that we may look into the future of this year. And beyond. And so let us begin by looking at this psalm, starting from verses 1 and 2. It says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us." My friends, do we notice the repetition of a great call to the people of God to shout out, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side." And can we imagine, my friends, can we imagine how extraordinary it was? Can we imagine for a second, imagine the presenter at that time, he was shouting out to the congregation of the people of God. He's calling them to repeat and to sing with him, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side." And this is to start off this recalling of the past. And why is the psalmist David wanting the people of God to shout out this statement with him. Why? Why? It is because the psalmist wants the people of God to be reminded of the Lord God, who is their only hope, who is their only deliverer, as they reflect upon the past. And many commentators have suggested the background for this psalm being 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And so I wonder if we can recall that dire situation in 2 Samuel chapter 5. Because by that time, Saul is long dead, and his sons have been killed, and Saul's army has been defeated by the Philistines. And David has just been crowned king over Israel in Hebron. However, the Philistines have now set their sights on David. As soon as they heard that he had been crowned king in Hebron. And what did the Philistines do? They planned to kill him. They, in fact, planned to wipe the nation of Israel off the face of the earth once and for all. And upon receiving this information concerning the threat of the Philistines, what did David do? What did he do in response? We can see that as we read, if we can turn to that chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 5 from verse 19. It says there, "So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will doubtlessly deliver the Philistines into your hand.'" And if we look at the rest of this chapter in 2 Samuel, we can see God's faithfulness, can't we? God's faithfulness towards David and his faithfulness towards the people of Israel, as the victory is clearly given by God to David. And therefore, it is against this very backdrop of 2 Samuel chapter 5 that the psalmist is crying out in verse 1, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say." Why does the psalmist emphasize this point not just once, but twice? My friends, perhaps we can imagine that at that time, as David and his army, as they are returning home to the people themselves, they might be tempted to credit David. They may be tempted to credit David's army for the victory that had just been won. Or perhaps even the army itself might be thinking that King David is the one that they should be thanking for the success over the Philistines. But remember what David said in 2 Samuel chapter 5 in verse 20. It says, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." And so in this psalm, David is warning the whole nation, is warning and then wanting the whole nation of Israel, as well as his own army, to realize that this victory over the Philistines, and in fact all the victories in the past for the whole nation of Israel, all of these were not down to him. All of these were not down to anyone else, but all of these were down to the Lord God of Israel. In other words, he is using verse 1 to emphasize that it is God himself who is the only hope of his people. And even David himself has emphasized, and he has witnessed that very fact, that very truth. And he wants his people to realize that as well, as they look back, as they reflect upon the past. And indeed, we see more than that. We see more than this call to the people of God. We see David is reminding the people of God of how dire the situation for him was, as well as for the nation of Israel. He is reminding the people of God that the dangers that they faced were very, very real. And in fact, the enemies that the nation was facing, they had the power to bring utter destruction upon Israel. And this is why David says in verses 2 and 3, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us." In other words, David is telling the people, yes, yes, now we are enjoying the safety of the victory over the Philistines. But we must be reminded that this victory is not down to the army, it's not down to the king, and they must not downplay the danger that they were facing. Because isn't that very easy, my friends? Even for us, as we look back at the events of the past year, isn't that easy to only remember the good times? And at the same time, isn't that easy just to downplay the difficulties that we once faced? And in doing so, my friends, do we know that we are doing something else at the same time? And what is it? We're doing one very thing, and that is we're underestimating the power of God's protection. We're underestimating the power of God's rescue in those situations. And in doing this, we might be in danger of forgetting God's grace to us in these situations. And instead, we would be tempted to elevate our own abilities and our own skills. My brothers and sisters, we may even completely lose sight of the fact that it was God who delivered us from our desperate situations. It was God who upheld us in our times of trials and difficulties and tribulations. And this is exactly the point that David is making in verses 3 to 7 of this psalm. And he is using several imageries to point out that if it weren't for the Lord's intervention, if it wasn't the Lord who sovereignly stepped in to overturn the situation, if it wasn't the Lord who sovereignly stepped in to rescue his people, then there would be no hope at all. No hope. And so let us read from verses 3 to 7 of that psalm. It says, "Then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us, when the waters would have overwhelmed us, the stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare has broken and we have escaped." My friends, do we see in verse 3 the way that David describes the enemy? He is describing them as a fierce enemy who had the power to devour the nation of Israel, to swallow them up alive, to swallow them up whole. And that is to describe how powerful the enemies of Israel are. And not just the Philistines, but all the enemies that the nation of Israel has faced. And as we look at these verses, and we might even be reminded of the book that George has just finished studying with many of us, the book of Esther. Remember Haman. Remember the enemies of the Jews. Remember how fierce the enemies of God were, led by Haman. Remember what they wanted to do? They wanted to kill, they wanted to destroy, they wanted to annihilate all the people of God throughout the empire of Persia. And that was just one of the many dire situations that Israel, the people of God, had faced. And the other picture is in verses 4 and 5. From a fierce enemy that will devour, to the raging flood waters that will overwhelm them. And indeed, the picture of a flood is something that we can all relate to, can't we? Especially, we have seen the footage of the tsunami that brought such utter destruction to Thailand, remember? To Indonesia, 10 years ago. And many of us would have seen the footage played again and again a few weeks ago in the news recently, as the stories have emerged from the day, being told in commemoration of the 10-year anniversary. And perhaps many of us would have seen the footages of the moment that the wave came in. And remember how it completely overwhelmed everything in its path. There was no means of escape. Remember, even the houses there, they could not withstand the force of the raging waters. Entire cities were leveled in a moment, and nothing was left in the wake of the flood. So in other words, the picture given to us here is to describe how life-threatening and how completely overpowering the enemies are. And had the Lord not been on their side, this enemy would have overwhelmed them. This enemy would have destroyed them. And in verse 6, we can see another picture. And it is similar to the first picture of a fierce predator eating them whole. But this picture speaks of an enemy. An enemy has caught them in his teeth and will shake the prey to death. And as we consider this picture, it may remind us of certain predators that we can find here in Australia, such as the great white shark or the saltwater crocodile. Both kill their prey by catching that prey in their powerful jaws and devouring it. But before that, they will shake it and shake it piece by piece. And this imagery is to describe the hostility of the enemies of the people of God. The hatred was so fierce that they would not stop until they can bring that utter desolation, that utter destruction to the nation, to the people. And we saw this kind of hatred and determination from the Philistines, even in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And they remember what they did. They, in fact, traveled the entire region searching for David in order to kill him, in order to destroy the rest of the nation of Israel. And the last picture that we have here in this psalm as to describe the enemy. And that is in verse 7. And that is the picture of a fowler's snare. And that is to reflect how the enemies of the people of God, how they want to trap, how they want to snare, how they want to entangle, so that none of them can escape. And we might be reminded of how the Israelites were trapped, how they were snared by the Egyptians. They were under the heavy yoke of slavery. And Pharaoh would not let them go. They could not do anything. The people themselves could not do anything at all to escape from that bondage. They were so very helpless. And so, my friends, do we see these pictures from the psalmist? These imageries. These are to describe the utter destruction that the people of God would have faced if the Lord was not on their side. And so do we see that in this psalm. Not only is David reminding the people of God how fierce, how powerful, how cunning, in fact, the enemies were, but we see something greater than that fierce enemies shown in this psalm. Something much greater, something so much more amazing. And what is that? That is the greatness and the power of the God of Israel, the only true God. And remember in verses 1 and 2, we have that call, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Well, we have the answer to that call in verse 8. As it says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And do we see what David is telling the people of God here? Even though the dangers were great, even though the perils overwhelming, but the sovereign Lord God of Israel, He is the one who has been preserving them all. And can we see that once more in verses 6 and 7? How beautiful and how wonderful the power of God is in delivering His people. As it says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. How wonderful it is as the people reflect upon the past, as they look back in their own history. Yes, yes, there were trials. Yes, there were great difficulties and great tribulations. And yes, their enemies were powerful. But the sovereign Lord, the Almighty God, has not given them over to their enemies. He just would not let His people go. And do we see how powerful the rescue, how powerful the deliverance from God is to them? He alone would defend them from their enemies. He would stand against the raging waters, as it were, to protect His own. He would rescue His own from the snare and from the trap. And the way God delivered His people is absolutely extraordinary. Remember how He rescued the Israelites from the slavery of Egypt. Remember? Remember they were trapped? The Israelites were in bondage, and Pharaoh would not let them go. And not only did God send the 10 plagues against Pharaoh, He even mightily rescued His people by the parting of the Red Sea. And remember, even for David himself, even before he became the crowned king, remember how the Lord has enabled him to defeat that giant, Goliath. And even at the time of this psalm, how God has rescued the whole nation of Israel from the Philistines. The mighty hand of God in defending and in sustaining and preserving His people. And this is why we see in verse 6, blessed be the Lord. And here, the psalmist is calling the people of God to praise God, to praise and to bless His holy name. Why? Because God Himself is their only help. And even in verse 8, David is declaring along with the people of God, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And that should give us the reason why the people of God would be given numerous rescues and numerous deliverances from the only true and living God. The help of the people of God is in God's holy and blessed name. And that should remind the people of who God really is. Not only is God the creator of all things, but that God has revealed to His people that He is the covenant Lord Yahweh. And He Himself has graciously, lovingly, mercifully covenanted Himself to His people. He has promised His own that He would rescue them. He has made a pledge to His people that He would preserve them for His own name's sake. And this is why God's people have been preserved from all those dangers. And we may remember, even in the book of Esther, if the Lord God was not on their side, all the people of God throughout Persia would have been utterly destroyed. And so do we see, my friends, it is not the people's might, it is not their own wisdom, it is not their own ability that has in any way or somehow preserved them. None of their own works, none of that could set themselves free. And therefore, we can see in the second half of verse 7, we have this wonderful picture. The snare is broken. The snare is broken. Not only are the people of God rescued from the enemy's trap, but the trap itself is what? It's broken. No longer there. Destroyed. By whom? By God Himself, in order to set His people free. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, as we look back in the year of 2014, as we reflect upon the trials, as we reflect upon the difficulties that we had once faced, we should be reminded that our help is in the name of the Lord. It wasn't in our own ability at all that we somehow overcame the problems and difficulties that we had. It is God Himself who has been preserving. It is God Himself who has been upholding us. And in fact, the reason that we can gather together in this place, on this Lord's Day, in this new year, is because of the gracious power of God. Every breath that we take, my brothers and sisters, every breath that we take is not by chance. It's not lucky that we are alive. No, nothing like that at all. But rather, it is all by the grace and mercy of God, even towards us, even on this earth. But my brothers and sisters, this psalm is not just redirecting us to look at how God has preserved our earthly lives in the past. And we are not just called in this psalm to remember how God has rescued, how God has delivered his people in the Old Testament from the earthly enemies. This psalm is in fact pointing us to God the Son, revealed to the people of God throughout the whole of human history, that he alone is their Savior. He alone is their Redeemer, their Protector, and indeed their Upholder. Because God's covenant faithfulness, God's covenant loving kindness, and his graciousness are fully shown in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, all the deliverances, all of the rescues in the Old Testament were pointing forward to and were foreshadowing the greatest rescue, the greatest deliverance in the person and in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as God's people, have we thought about it? If the Lord Jesus Christ was not on our side, if he was not for us, what would we be? What would we be today, this morning? We would still be in the bondage of sin, the bondage of death, and the tyranny of the evil one. And my friends, no matter how much we struggle to escape, no matter how hard we try to escape by our own strength, the more we try to do that, the more we are entangled, the more we are trapped, just like that bird in that snare, in that trap. If he were not on our side, there would be no hope for us. Have we thought about it, my brothers and sisters? And this psalm is not just calling us to rejoice in God's numerous blessings. It's not just that. It's not as if we are just recounting how many good things that God has graciously given to us. Not just that, my friends. Not just that. No, my brothers and sisters, it is much, much more than that. This psalm is pointing out the very fact that if it weren't for the Lord God of Israel, we would have nothing at all, not even our lives, not even our lives. We would have been in the bondage of sin under the dominion of the evil one, swallowed up by and condemned to death. This is what the psalmist wants us to seriously consider. If the God of the Bible is not for us, if the God of the Bible is not for his people, it is far, far more than having less blessings. Than just having less blessings or having less benefits. It's much, much more than that. And if we consider more in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, if God the Father did not send forth his only begotten Son, if Christ did not accomplish that glorious redemption and salvation for his people, if he did not pay for the sins of his people once and for all, if he did not, by dying upon the cross of Calvary, if he did not do that, if he did not shed his own blood, if he did not defeat Satan on that cross of Calvary, and if Christ was not raised from the dead on the third day, what would we be? There would be nothing for the people of God whatsoever. Nothing at all. But the good news is that God in Christ has done all this. He has done it all. And we have in the gospel such a gracious, such a loving and a compassionate Savior who knows our feeble frame, who knows our utter helplessness, who knows our devastation, who knows our impending death because of our sins. And not only is he with us, but Christ is for us. It is for those who belong to him by grace alone and by faith alone. How wonderful it is And as those who have been made recipients of this wonderful gospel of grace, we are called to constantly recall and to remember and to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only should it cause us to be thankful, but it should give us so much and tremendous confidence and hope. Why? Why, my brothers and sisters? Because as we look back at our past, we should be reminded that Christ has been preserving, He has been protecting, He has been defending us. And we must, even today, even this morning, acknowledge His Lordship over us as our covenant Lord and King, as the shepherd over His sheep. And that should remind us of His tenderness, of His loving kindness, of His sweet grace, year after year for His people. And to be assured, absolutely, even today, my brothers and sisters, to be assured that we are firmly secured in the pierced hands of our Lord and Savior, the risen Christ. And my brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus, the King of His church, He doesn't just preserve us individually. He also preserved us as a congregation, as a denomination. And indeed, He has been preserving and He has been protecting His church down through the ages. Remember His promise in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. He said, "I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." How wonderful is that promise? How sure is His promise? He has been preserving, He has been defending His cause and kingdom on earth, even on earth. And I wonder if some of us have heard of the story of an evangelical minister by the name of John Jury. John Jury, back in 1582, John Jury was banned. He was imprisoned for one thing, for preaching the gospel, for defending the cause and kingdom of Jesus Christ. He was doing that in Edinburgh and throughout Scotland. But the ban was shortly lifted, and he was released. And upon his return to Edinburgh, he was met by a crowd of 200 at Leith, at the dock. And then as he walked further up into the high street, he found himself among 2,000. What did the 2,000 people do? They all together began to sing from this very psalm, Psalm 124, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side." Why? Because they rejoice over God's protection. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sole King of His church, He is still preserving His people. He is still defending us to the very end. And may we praise Him and may we rejoice in Him as we look back, as we remember all that He has done for us. As He Himself is our only hope, He Himself is our only protector. As we look into this new year of 2015, and indeed we look beyond that as God's people who belong to Christ, we look into eternity, don't we? Because as God's people, we are granted this wonderful gift of the forgiveness of sins and that eternal life with our Lord and Savior. Praise be to God for His love and loving kindness and His sweet grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so let us conclude our worship.